Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Marto and Margo, you can hear them every morning on the radio, 104.5 Triple M at 5:30. Another big show today. We spoke to a lady who's been in home, one of the first Queenslanders to go to home quarantine. She had a bit of a story for us.
Yeah, she had an incredible story to tell us.
And Troy Archer from the Gold Coast died 200 times.
Another incredible story, 200 times.
And wait until you hear Gary. He died in a truck accident nearly three times.
I think he died three times on our show as well whilst he told the story.
If that goes onto the podcast, I'd be very surprised. Someone need to wake him up. Anyway.
Poor Gary.
There's some good gear on today's show. And listen.
Bit of fun.
Remember that one we did last year, the slipperiest thing you ever slipped on?
Coming back.
Well, after this rain and all the jacaranda leaves, that's how it started.
I slipped on a jacaranda, Marto. I thought of you the other day.
Hell on earth. They're the banana peel off a tree. Yeah,
might be something
so
we
pretty,
can...
but yeah, look at them all over there across the river. I'm looking at some now.
I know, but...
how incredible they are.
But when they get soggy...
Yeah.
Well, slipperiest thing you've ever slipped, but we might talk about that tomorrow on the show. Who knows? But let's get into the catch-up podcast. Marto and Margo, this is Triple M.
Let's just do it, okay?
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Courier Mail claiming. What's the front page today? Let's
go, Dolphins! Revealed NRL 17th team, ready to make a splash.
Exclusive to the Courier Mail. They're naming the Dolphins before there's been an announcement as the 17th team. I'll tell you who really broke it first. Our NRL newsbreaker, Ben Dobbin. Hello, Dobbo.
Yeah, morning, guys.
What's going on here?
Because it hasn't been announced, but apparently it has been announced, Dobbo. What is it?
Look, the Dolphins are the preferred candidate. And what I mean by that, and I don't want to dance around it, is that over the course of the weekend, the NRL asked all three clubs to obviously some extra questions. I'm talking about the Firehawks, the Jets, and the Dolphins. And then yesterday morning, they only asked one organisation for more. So that was the Dolphins. So the Firehawks and the Jets weren't contacted again by the NRL, and they're now the preferred candidate, which will mean the Dolphins bid, the $70 million war chest out of Redcliffe, the stadium, the big nursery of junior rugby league players, Terry Reader and co, will end up being the new 17th franchise, which will be named around Thursday. So that's the biggest story. It's a done deal. It's a lock. The Dolphins will be the 17th franchise.
Dobbo, how important to the whole process has it been that Redcliffe's 40 kilometres north of Brisbane and they won't cannibalise the Titans or the Broncos' breeding grounds?
We probably didn't put enough into that, and that is a huge thing now. I just know that News Limited own the Brisbane Broncos, and there's no way whatsoever they were going to allow the Brisbane Broncos to be cannibalised. Now, you would think if you went to the Western bid, the Brisbane Jets, or if you went to the East Tigers bid, which was the Firehawks, there would be some saturation of Bronco supporters crossing over. I think the best scenario, and that means that they've got them pretty well covered. You've got the Titans in the south, you've got Brisbane in the middle, and in the north, you've got the Dolphins. And I think it probably evens itself out. You've still got to remember there's going to be eight games played at Suncorp Stadium, three at Dolphin Oval and two up at the Sunny Coast. So it's not going to be all out of Dolphin Oval where these will be played. The good news is that, you know, now they can move on and try and sign the coach, and that's Wayne Bennett. And the relationship between Terry Reader and Wayne Bennett goes back 20 years, the CEO. There's been no formal discussions. There's been no contracts or anything like that. But you would think in the coming days that those conversations will happen, and we should expect an announcement maybe early next week or somewhere around there that Wayne Bennett will be coaching this franchise.
Dobbo, it looks like they've got a pretty good lineup already. The paper saying that a possible Dolphins side looks like Cameron Munster, Anthony Milford, Christian Welch, Matt Lodge, Felice Kafusi, Tino Fa'asoa Malawi, Jesus. Pat Carrigan, Caelan Ponga.
Where do I get a bet on?
These are all the players that are off contract. Put a line through Matt Lodge. He will not be going to the Dolphins, okay? That's one thing I can tell you. Look, and there's no players signed. There's a lot of players coming off contract, and November 1 is when they can start negotiating for 2023. So November 1 this year, player managers can start negotiating for their players for the 2023 season.
Okay.
And so there is a lot of players coming off. Now, what that side looks like, there is a salary cap, and as much as we'd like to think that the Dolphins would be able to put a strong side, there's going to be players that are about to retire from players that haven't played their first game. So the spread will be even, and the talent pool will be evenly spread, but it should be a good side. You would think that they're going to get somebody like Munster or that to Dobbo, to be their figurehead.
Dobbo, you know, when the Sun started and also GWS in the AFL, they gave them a lot of concessions. They let them spend more money. They gave them all of these free hits. That's not going to happen with the Dolphins?
Definitely not. No. They are going to be
level playing fields.
Level playing field, yeah, completely level playing field. Well, they don't have to break into a market. There's a rugby league heartland. So,
righto.
I mean, they wanted that so they can get more support and be competitive.
Dobbo, can we talk about Broncos signings? Adam Reynolds set to come from South Sydney to Brisbane, but shoulder injury, what's happening there? Have we signed a busted player yet again?
Is it his shoulder or his groin? What's going on?
Is this Jack Bird all over again?
No, it's not. He had an MRI yesterday, doesn't require surgery. Spoke to the Broncos yesterday about it. There was some talk that he was going to need an operation. This happened in the grand final. He's all okay, and he will be turning up middle of December for pre-season. He is not required for an operation, which is a good news story.
Right. Oh, mate, up to date. Can you just confirm that you were the first person to tell anyone about the Dolphins, were you?
Correct.
Well, at least us. We've known.
Yeah, well, I think we've been talking about it for a fair while. I don't think it's the worst kept secret. But anyway, we don't have a newspaper to spruik, but we'll just spruik it on our radio show.
Love your work, mate.
Good on you, Dobbo.
6 o'clock tonight, rush hour. Thanks, Dobbo.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
And you can catch ICC T20 Cricket World Cup action live and exclusive to Fox Cricket, available on KO. New to KO? Start your free trial today.
Okay, you know Peter Volandis.
Rugby League.
Of course. Rugby League. Well, he's now racing Volandis because the season's over. Of course, he's still head of New South Wales.
He's still head of the trots, isn't he?
No. Oh, how dare you, the trots. All of racing in New South Wales.
All of racing in New South Wales.
Runs the whole bloody thing.
The Everest.
Yes, that's what I want to talk to you about. Oh. He's always looking for something different. The magic round, moving the ground final, that sort of stuff in rugby league. He does the same thing in racing. And for the last few years, he's run the Everest, the richest event, because he wanted to eclipse the Melbourne Cup. They offer $4.5 million to the winner. The Everest offers $6 million for a winner of a horse race. The $15 million total for one race.
Is it correct that it was the first time the Sydney Opera House had ever put any sort of advertising on its roof, and it was the Everest advertising?
That wouldn't surprise me.
I'm pretty sure it was.
I think they put the actual barrier draw on the Opera House. He has so much power. He can do anything. And Saturday at Randwick, yeah, they had Freedom Day yesterday in New South Wales. Saturday at Randwick, the Premier's gone, you can have 10,000 there. I'll double it.
A little bit like Dan Andrews for
Incredible.
The Melbourne Cup.
That's right. 10,
schools
000.
Aren't open, but hey, let's go to the races.
Exactly. Who cares?
Who cares about the kids?
All right. And did you see the promotion? I've never seen anything like this in Australia. The promotion yesterday was Australia's fastest man, Rowan Browning. You know, the guy with the mullet ran at the Olympics, got the semi-finals. Oh. A white Australian runner with a mullet got to the semi-finals. Well, yesterday he ran a race against a racehorse at Randwick to promote the Everest.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't see it.
Who do you think won?
Since racing began at Randwick in 1833, a horse has always passed the post first. Today, that changed.
But Browning's going to do it easily. The fastest man in the country's won it.
Just by about 8 metres or so, the horse was fast finishing. The horse had to run 200 metres. Browning only ran 100 metres, okay?
Oh, that's not fair.
No, I know. That's not fair. And that's where I come in. Because you know when you go to the races.
Not even.
You know when you go to the races and you go there and you watch race one. There's 35 minutes until race two.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do in between. Race three, another 35 minutes. Another 35 minutes. All right. Here you go, Peter Volandis. Advice for nothing. What they need to do, that looks so magnificent, you say, and I don't like they gave the Rowan Browning a 100-metre start on the horse.
Do you want to combine rugby league with racing again?
Because last time during the
football season, you should say we should have horse racing in the middle of the football field or football in the middle of the racing field.
That's incredible.
Now, are you saying to get NRL players fit during the off-season, maybe we have them running races in between the horses?
No.
Okay.
I'm going further. Are you ready?
Yes.
After race one, what happens is you get, like, it's no good racing a horse against a man. That's not going to work. You need animals who run the same speed, and I've done my homework. The African elephant can run 40 kilometres an hour. The wombat 40 kilometres an hour.
No,
you get them running just the length of the stroke.
I don't believe it. Show me the research.
You have a look.
You're telling me a wombat can run 40 kilometres
for 150 metres, then it gets buggered. It gets knocked up. Okay. Well, let's say they risk run over 120 so the wombat can keep top speed. Can you imagine how funny that would? I wouldn't even bet on the horse race. I'd go, oh, I'm going the wombat to pull that off. All right, so race two, the horse race happens. I don't know, we all go, race two's over. And you go, righto, what's on here? Well, I'm going to put a 100-metre swimming pool because a zebra and a dolphin both go 64 kilometres an hour. What a race.
Incredible.
Okay, then
they
have race three.
I mean, if the animal activists didn't have anything to protest about with the horses, can you imagine?
I'm not finished yet.
Oh,
race three, the horses run. We all have a bet. Now what's on? Hello. It's the kangaroos up against the greyhounds. Both of them run 70 kilometres an hour. What a race.
Oh, wow. That was
put away binoculars. What a day at the races.
Why aren't you in that meeting with Peter Melandi?
There's a lot more questions than answered that have just been delivered.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Marto, incredible scenes on the beach at Rainbow over the weekend where a ute burst into flames. Incredible photo here in the paper today. Let's have a look at that.
Gives a close look, sorry.
A young man.
I love Rainbow Beach.
He was very lucky to escape with minor burns to his body, but he wanted to thank everybody. He came out on his Facebook page and he said, hey, everyone, unfortunately, I was the bloke whose ute was up in flames today. Oh. I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone, all of you massive legends who were helping me out on the beach. I really can't thank you enough. He said the fire was caused by stupid mistake.
Now, that's what
I want to discuss with
you're
you.
All right, I love stupid mistakes.
Because
made a few myself.
You think, oh, maybe the, I don't know, engine overheated or, you know, they were being drunk and doing burnouts or something.
Did they have a beach, beach
plenty
fire?
Plenty of assumptions, a bonfire maybe.
Can I put my hand up? Yeah, they had a little bonfire and they started throwing accelerant into it, like cans or something. Is that what happened?
It's not what happened. No. What happened was is... well, he says, for those wondering, was cooking snags on tray.
What? And then it got a fire like that.
Jerry can was on it, was like 1 metre away, had puffed up heaps from the sun. The fumes caught and then exploded.
Oh, my God.
Incredible scenes. Hold one would think of that, would you?
Like,
he must have had his little...
No one would think of it. Like, some fuel a metre away from a fire with that had been leaking.
If it's in a jerry can, it's enclosed and maybe it's all right. Well, it seems not. It exploded. He said it's such a stupid thing to do, but I just wasn't thinking about it. Mistakes happen, I guess.
Drunk.
Got off really lucky with most of the burns. Just happy
burned.
To be alive.
Where did he get burnt?
Well, on his body. He said he was flown to the hospital after the vehicle caught fire.
Jesus.
And he sustained some serious burns, but not enough to really hurt him too much. But he's just happy to be alive.
Is this a public health warning?
This is a public service announcement just to say don't cook your sausages on your tray near your jerry can when you're at the beach.
That might be the most specific health warning. Who will they wheel out? You know how they wheeled out Thursday yesterday to do these? There's going to be cyclones. Get ready. Who will they wheel out?
He had his spy hat on, though, wasn't he? Fireman Sam yesterday. We could have sent him up there.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Margo, they reckon we've had about 35 mils overnight. She's been nice and wet.
A little bit wet. And Stephen from Springwood's called in because he's got caught up in it. What's happened, Stephen?
We went past. We've seen the roads all flooded up in the highway there. The traffic's back for miles. And the funny thing was I sent the boss a text message saying, sorry, stuck in traffic. And he sent me back a message saying, ha-ha, send us a pic. In other words, he doesn't believe us.
Hold on, we'll make this a traffic report. You going north or south on the M1?
We're going south.
Right. Are you having trouble there at Rochdale south somewhere?
It's just at Springwood there, mate.
Yeah, there's a heap of water over the road. Is that right, Stephen? Is that what's causing delays?
Yeah, busted drain apparently, and it's flooded the inside two lanes.
Right.
So it's only traffic's reduced to just one lane.
Okay, so you've tried to ring the boss and tell him this, and he's laughing at you. What's the name of the company?
I sent him a text message.
Yeah. Would he listen to Triple M?
Yes, mate. My boss listens to Triple M as well.
We'll give him a shout out.
What's his name?
Hey, Ben.
Ben. All right. Hey, Ben. Steve's not talking rubbish for a change.
He's not making it up. Yeah. He's really stuck.
How far away are you for Ben's sake, Steve?
Mate, probably 20 minutes.
Righto. Well, Ben, cut him a break. What do you do, Steve?
Paint boats, mate, for a living.
Oh, paint boats. Oh,
so you're
won't be doing much painting in the wet today, will you, Steve? Or is it waterproof paint?
They'd have a painting boat.
No, we're in the sheds, love.
All right. Well, Ben, I love you for giving him a heads up. Hey, mate, we're just about to talk about cutting hair. How much do you pay at the barber?
I don't pay a thing, mate. I cut my own hair.
Oh, cut your own hair? What is it, shaved? Are you bald?
Can you send us a photo to the burner phone? I'll tell you.
What do you use, Steve? Scissors or clippers? Just clippers.
Yeah, just clippers.
And you shave it?
Clippers in a mirror, mate. No, I've got a mullet. I've got an undercut.
Have you got a partner?
No, mate, no. I've got an ex-partner, mate, and a couple of kids. But I'm single again now, living the dream.
Maybe the haircut's got something to do with
that. Well, is that what you thought that would pull the ladies, perhaps the mullet, maybe Stephen?
No, it was sort of a drunken moment.
Hey, thanks, Steve. You should be sweet when you get to work. Ben will love you.
No, thanks, brother.
All the best.
Hey, listen, we're just talking about haircuts. The reason I mentioned that is because I did want to talk about it. How much do you reckon you should pay for a men's haircut?
Well, my boys go to the barber and they pay $25 each.
And that's pretty standard. It's just male haircuts. I know I've just moved... Because I've moved suburbs, I've just moved barbers.
Oh, you've moved to a fancy suburb, Marto. What do they charge there?
It hit $35.
Ooh.
And I got a little bit of a surprise. I didn't register. I didn't flinch.
From a barber?
From a barber.
Yeah, because hairdressers, you could expect to pay a little bit more because they're, go to school for so long.
He offered me a massage and shampoo? Just head massage.
Head massage.
I had to go, mate, I don't know what you're talking
about. Get the hot towel and the leather strap too.
Where I go to the barbers. Got a hot towel. That was excellent.
Hot towel. They did the leather strap with the knife and they shaved
it. Got my neck done. But 35, that's the most I've ever paid for a haircut. All of a sudden, she's banged up. Is this what's going on in Brisbane?
I know Jamie Angel paid more than $35
for his... I've never paid more than $25.
You said that to me the other day.
$75.
That's ridiculous.
Have you gone to a new guy as well?
I don't even pay that to get my hair cut.
Well, I did have waxed boys' hair.
I know. My hair's short like yours.
They waxed your nose.
And my ears.
Oh, that's personal.
That's intimate.
Can we check? 75 is ridiculous. How much do you pay? How much is too much for a men's haircut?
Well, Stephen doesn't pay anything like we just heard. He cuts his own. Marto, you've done that with dog clippers before.
It was atrocious. Well. No, don't do your own hair. But what should you be paying? It only takes 15 minutes. Surely $30 is all it is. Is there a cheaper one than 30? And what's the most expensive men's haircut? Let's cover it off. 133353.
Dave from Nambour.
I'm paying $12, but it's going up to 15 next week.
Oh, are you in now? Nambour, the main street or something?
No, I'm actually on the highway heading to Caloundra.
Where do you get your haircut, Dave? Not where you're driving.
Oh, sorry.
All
right.
Quite
bad.
Jeez,
Jamie's Hair Tree in Logan Central.
So is it it's a barber, not a hairdresser, obviously?
It's a bit of both.
I
do both.
Okay. Dave, I'm looking at that and going, you live at Nambour and you drive to Logan for a haircut, there's another $60 of fuel. Are we all in the same...
I work in Brisbane.
Right, righto.
Well, but you still drive to Logan. That's another 20, 30 minutes from Brisbane.
We've got the cheapest haircut. I can't believe. And what did he ring you and tell you it's going up to 15? I've got to bang it up a bit.
No, well, the last time I went in, they told me it was going up.
Are you happy with that, Dave? You happy to pay 15?
Oh, hell yes. After seeing or hearing 25 to 75 bullets for a haircut.
Exactly. Thank you.
I'm very happy for 15.
Thank you, Dave.
15's a bargain. Good job, Dave. Adam from Narangba. What do you pay for your haircut and how much is too much?
Oh, well, I drive to Stafford City to get my nuns for $10.
I know that guy, yeah.
Pretty cheap, but on the weekend, I got my 15-month-old boy done and it was $32.
Jesus. Was it one of those ones with a fancy car chair and a printed apron and they had an iPad?
Yeah, a little bit.
Keep him distracted.
Adam, the food court and then you walk down at Stafford City, then you walk down. Is it the one on the left there?
Yeah, that's it.
Is that $10 to get your hair cut there?
I mean, you see how wriggly 15-month-old kids are. Try and put a nappy on one, let alone cut their hair. I'd be charging $32 too.
Bugger that. Cable ties and just tie them down. Craig from Mansfield, what are you paying for your haircut?
Mate, $7.50.
Oh, get stuck.
Craig?
It's at Matters in Grey at Garden City, at Mount Gravatt, across the road from Garden City. It's a training centre. Oh. They have women's cuts there. They can do your... highlights and all that sort of stuff. They can give you a shave. Give you a coffee as well, $7 each.
Have you ever had any blood coming out of your scone after the haircut?
Top of the ear?
Yeah, top of the ear.
No. Yeah, the only thing is you've got to sit there a little bit longer than normal, you know, have a bit of a chat because we're all learners.
Yeah, that's fabulous.
$7.50.
Jesus, we're on to something.
Not bad.
Here.
Matt from Tanimera, good morning.
How are you, mate?
What are you paying for a haircut?
Oh, about $45.
Jesus, Matt, why so much?
Oh, I thought it was standard, to be honest.
Oh, we're all learning something
learning
here
this morning.
But Matt, what do they do for you? Like, you know, Craig's saying they're training.
Is it fancy? Do you get a little massage? Marto was talking about
you
a head massage.
The hot towel and the razor and whatnot. And
do you get a free beer for $45?
Absolutely.
Well, it's not free, is it, when you're paying $45? That's probably the $12 on top of the $30 haircut
that's
you got.
Life. Hey, so they do a good job, right?
Matt,
45.
You might need to look to find somewhere else who's a bit cheaper because $7.50 is the cheapest we've found so far.
Cody, are you lowballing? Are you going, can you beat $7.50?
I paid $90.
Whoa.
$90? Yeah. Are you listening to these other guys and going, what am I on with?
Mate, to be honest, $45 is pretty standard. That's what I normally pay.
Righto. So you get what you pay for.
What did you get for 90? Yeah.
Okay, so he gave me a haircut. I got my beard done, face towels, a bit of a massage. But I didn't even ask for all that, mate. And to be fair, mid-haircut, he says to me, he's only been cutting hair for 9 months. When I went home and looked at my haircut, it was awful.
It looked like he'd only been cutting it for 9 months, Cody. Well, on average, Triple M listeners are paying $29 for men's haircuts, Marto.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, but $7.50, training centre, you might have to wait 3 hours, but geez, it's the cheapest 3 hours you've ever had.
Thank you for your calls, Triple M.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
133353 is our number because I want to get a ruling on something, Marto, some behaviour that I have observed, and it seems to be becoming more common, and it is going barefoot, and I'm not talking around your house or your backyard or out whilst you're gardening. It's out shopping, and I've seen it a couple of times recently. I'm not talking about small children who refuse to put their shoes on.
Yeah.
I have kids. I understand what that battle is like, and some battles you just don't want to have that day.
Adults
barefoot. I'm talking about adults barefoot in public at shopping centres.
Oh, shopping
now, center. I admit I am guilty of having come back from the beach and just run and ducked into the shop on the way home to grab bread and milk or something like that, you know, just a little strip mall. Yeah. But I'm talking about Woolies. I'm talking about your local shopping centre. Shoes should be worn, yes? Just in general is a theory. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I don't like to judge too harshly, but when people
careful.
Are wandering around, you know, the shopping centre pushing a trolley as a family and no one's wearing shoes.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. Isn't shoes a part of the dress standard and entering a public place? I mean, I wear UGG boots, so I know that that sometimes can be deemed inappropriate footwear. It's like, come on, love, put on some real shoes. But UGG boots are comfy and they're a footwear. They're enclosed. They're leather sometimes, suede.
Well, I got booted out. No, so I didn't. Sorry, my son Harry doesn't like wearing shoes very often when he's not working.
Mm.
We didn't get allowed into the footy one day.
Mm.
I had to go back to the car and get a pair of thongs.
What footy are you talking about?
It was Suncorp Stadium.
Of course you wouldn't be allowed to go into Suncorp Stadium without shoes.
Why not?
Because it's a licensed venue and public place where
they have
insurances.
You tell me how being barefooted impacts on you if I'm the one who's barefooted. I don't get this whole argument.
No, I know, but you could go around
what's
life saying that for lots of things with the rules that we have in place.
What about people, if people walked into your shopping centre without a shirt on, if a bloke had his nipples showing, is that worrying you? Indecent.
Well, inappropriate in a shopping centre. Yes, maybe at the beach perhaps. So if you're in
standards are different.
A 10, 5, 15, 10 kilometre radius of the beach, maybe walking around Burley or Broadie, maybe different. But if you're entering a restaurant or a place where people are eating or other people are shopping.
My feet are on the ground. You're not. If a fork hits the ground, hits the floor, you're not going to use that fork again. So it doesn't matter what's on your feet. People take bloody dogs into restaurants these days. That's disgusting.
Well, 133353, I want to know.
I'll get a ruling.
What's the ruling on appropriateness of footwear?
Why do I have to wear shoes to work? I don't wear shoes to work quite often. Today I have because I drove.
You often wear just toe socks
wear
in
socks.
Here and that's inappropriate.
I reckon
that's just
for the
an
first
eyesore.
Odd socks too,
I used to wear bare feet here all
odd
the time.
Socks.
And somebody said you shouldn't do that anymore and they made me wear socks.
133353, I need to get a ruling on this. Is it inappropriate to have bare feet in shopping centres?
All right.
Or where is it appropriate to have bare feet? Maybe you feel the same way that Marta does.
But the same thing with... It's like being an anti-vaxxer. Yeah, well, hold on. If I walk into my pub...
You cannot compare the two. No,
it's my risk. I'm taking the risk, not you, by a glass falling on my foot or something.
No, I know, but there's certain standards that need to be upheld. Are there not?
Beach volleyball, they play on bare feet.
Well, of course they do. So they should. They're at the beach.
Barefoot lawn bowls.
Have you ever tried to walk through the sand in thongs?
Yes.
It's terrible.
All right.
133.53. Let's get a ruling on it. Inappropriate footwear.
You're a footist.
I love shoes.
A barefootist.
Maybe it's because I love shoes. I mean, I'm shoe curious. I want to know why you don't wear shoes out in public.
Because I don't have all that many shoes. And I just don't think I should rotate them, as you've got a lot of shoes to rotate through your life.
Yeah, possibly. Glenn from Kedron, good morning.
I don't know.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, good. Mate, are you a shoe wearer or non-shoe wearer?
Non-shoe wearer, mate. I agree with Marto.
Yeah, where do you go with no shoes on, Glenn, that you probably should?
Well, I had 15 years in the Northern Territory, and when I first met my wife, unless I was at work or playing sport, I pretty much didn't wear shoes. So
yeah, okay.
She wasn't really impressed one time when we pulled up to the movies, and then she realised that I didn't have shoes on. My theory was it was in the dark, no one's looking at my feet. Yeah. But she made me go home and get some shoes before we could go out.
Did she tame you enough just to wear thongs?
Oh, you wear thongs to the pub, but up there. But since we moved back down to Brizzy, I sort of have the thongs and the good going out slide as well, mate.
The double pluggers. Have you got dress thongs and at home thongs, Glenn?
Yeah, mate. You got to have your good sandals ready to go.
You know what,
Marta? You were talking about Suncorp Stadium. Glenn, if you were to go and watch a game of football at Suncorp, would you wear shoes?
Thongs, unless I'm in the members, and then maybe a pair of joggers or something.
I would. I'd wear shoes to footy. I'm just saying my son was knocked back one night because I went, oh, you're feral. And he had to go back to the car to get some thongs.
Mm.
But is that bad?
Well, it's not bad. It's just
what was going to happen to
him? There's a level of, I guess, standard for public.
When lawyers got
health?
Involved.
I don't know. Mm. Tina from the Sunny Coast, we're foot shoe curious.
Listen to this, Tina. Hayden from Sandgate sent through on the burner. Feet are absolutely disgusting and should be covered up at all time, you ferals. Well done, Hayden. Good spray.
Tina, where do you stand on the no shoe policy?
Well, I actually agree. Feet are disgusting, but I don't wear shoes. I hate shoes. I only wear shoes to work. So I literally just yesterday went into my workplace and did my whole grocery shop with no shoes on.
You did your whole grocery shop at like a Coles or a Woolies or an Aldi or somewhere with no shoes on?
I actually went to Woolies and Aldi.
Did you feel like people were judging you or looking at you because of
that? I don't care.
You don't care.
But your sunny coast, how far from the high tide mark is your shop?
Well, I actually live right on the water, so my beach is like my back door.
That's right. So it's a beach thing.
It's a beach thing.
No, but it's not because I was brought up in Toowoomba.
And without wearing
shoes
in winter.
You didn't wear
shoes
up in Toowoomba?
No, I hated shoes.
Have you got
and
toes still?
And my mother still to this day gets frowns on me when she sees me with no shoes on. So I'm like, I don't care.
It looks like Tina.
I go to the plaza. I go to the Sunshine Plaza with no shoes on.
With no shoes on, Tina.
Oh, that's fancy. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Sunshine Interesting.
Plaza. But you wear UGG boots. I mean, you could be classified as a bogan.
Well, yeah. I am a bogan, apparently. Tina, everybody keeps telling me so.
Bogan.
I just thought I was just an Aussie chick, but apparently I'm a bogan.
So but UGGs are just the winter thong, aren't they?
Yeah, they keep your feet warm when it's cold.
Tina, you got many pairs of thongs. How many pairs of shoes you got, Tina?
I actually have four pairs of shoes.
Yeah, I only run four or five. So you're running.
I've literally got four. That's all I've got in my cupboard.
I took four pairs of shoes away with me for two nights away.
That's right.
You'd need two bags for your shoes, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I reckon, Tina. Plenty of people with you outside of Hayden from Sandgate who thinks feet are disgusting, you ferals. Alicia from Mango Hill said people should be wearing shoes. Jack from Redcliffe said he's a barefoot operator. Right.
You said we needed a ruling. Let's make the ruling. If you go to your favourite shop, you can wear no shoes.
Well, it seems you can do whatever you want if you don't care about what anyone else thinks.
Well, that's what life's
all
about.
Go ahead. Be yourself.
Triple M.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
From yesterday, we're open and ready to accept Queenslanders back to home quarantine.
Home quarantine.
There were goods and bads, apparently, and one, I think it's a good story, it was from a Bribie Island girl, Cherie Lloyd. Hi, Cherie.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, Ningi girl. Now, listen, can you tell everyone your story as it happened? It was, almost 2 months ago. You went down to, your mother was dying down in Chester Hill.
Yeah, so I got the call on the 24th that night to get down now. So I booked the flight that morning, the 25th. She passed holding my hand Friday morning, the 27th at 8 o'clock.
I'm sorry, but I'm so glad you got to get there. Nice.
Yes, thank you. But I didn't, the borders apparently shut on the Thursday, the 26th. I applied for the border pass on the 6th of September and I was told 10 days. Then about a week later, I got an email to say that we don't know when it's going to be. So every second day I got a COVID test. I'm fully vaccinated. I rang Queensland Health every second day and there was nothing I could do until I found this Facebook site, Homeless Queenslanders Outside Due to Border Pass.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's thousands and thousands of us that are stranded in the same situation.
On that Facebook page, that's probably where you got more information than off the government, was it?
Yes, the government really didn't know much. Like, I will say they were beautiful, beautiful people. Everyone I spoke to was amazing. But there was no communication between Queensland government and QPS. No one knew what was going on. The only reason I found out about home quarantine was my girlfriend called me and said they're doing a home quarantine trial.
Oh, God.
So I rang and they put a note on my phone and QPS read it.
So at that stage, you'd been stuck across the border for 33 days, Cherie?
Yes. Stuck across the border, sleeping in my mother's bed.
And you'd already had her funeral by then, God. Righto.
Yeah, the funeral was done. It was just a really bad year. Like, my granddaughter's daddy died. He was 27 in January last year. Then my granddaughter lost her son in June. Then my dad died on the 2nd of October, October.
Just this
and
year?
And then my mother in 2020.
Yeah, God.
And then my mother-in-law died 20 days later. So while I was still grieving for my dad, I had to organise my mother-in-law's funeral.
You have had a hell of a time, Cherie. I'm so very sorry, and we're condolences for your losses. Where are you now?
I'm at home. I got home, and I first thing I did was I jumped in the spa. I had a beer.
That's what you do in Nengi, yes.
My husband had to move out of the house, so he's living in a caravan.
Hold on, is that one of the rules?
Well, it was either he could quarantine with me, but he has to work.
He's got to work.
So what are the do's and don'ts, Cherie? Give us some insight into the do's and don'ts of what home quarantine looks like.
I have to have a COVID test second day, fifth day, 11th day.
Yeah.
No home deliveries at all, so everything had to be here already. No one is to come to the house at all. So I've got a gate and I've locked the gate so no one can even come onto the property.
Are you telling me no one can drop food on your front doorstep?
Even though you're fully vaccinated and having COVID tests every other day?
Correct. No deliveries of any sort
is this
allowed.
14 days?
14 days, yeah.
And you're still happy with this?
I'm home.
Well, it's a hell of a lot cheaper than hotel quarantine, which is the whole point of this trial. Had you have gone into hotel quarantine, what would that have cost you, Cherie?
$3,200.
For 2 weeks.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Is the hubby happy? Where'd you say he was in a caravan?
Yeah, he's at our daughter's house living in the backyard in a caravan for 2 weeks.
How's he handling that?
he'll be right.
Hey, it's good living. I live in a caravan for 5 weeks at Christmas time. He'd be having a great time.
But he's missing his spa.
Yeah, he's missing out on the spa.
Oh, he'd love Cherie, to see you too. I'm sure he's missing you.
Yeah, we're so glad that you're home.
Yeah, I'm missing my grandkids. I've got 10 grandkids. I'm missing them.
Cherie, now we've probably got heaps of people listening who have got relatives in the same boat who are trying to get back to Queensland. Was there a secret to getting it approved?
I called. Apparently, it was originally just for people that applied for exemptions, where I applied for a border pass. But if anyone's listening, just ring them and ask them to put a note on your file that you're happy to do home quarantining.
Oh, okay.
There are rules, but you have to live in certain areas like Moreton Bay, Ipswich, is a couple of areas. You have to be fully vaccinated. You have to have the COVID test. It has to be a freestanding house.
You've got to have a spa and a spare caravan.
And like to drink beer.
Yeah. Hey, Cherie, we're really happy. Good. That's a great story for a change. Nice.
Yes, I'm happy, and I just hope everyone else gets home, and that's my mission now, is to get all these other people home. Oh. I feel like I've made all these lifetime friends on this Facebook site.
Cherie, can you keep in contact if you do come across great stories? Keep on ringing us.
And what's the name of the Facebook page for people who maybe want to get in touch as well?
Queensland, homeless due to Queensland borders.
Beauty. Okay. Thanks, Cherie. Cherie Lloyd,
welcome back.
Back with us at Ningi.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, we did suggest yesterday on the show that things would be going a little bit mad down in Sydney. Now, they've become humans again. They've been released from their prison. And this
freedom!
This must be what it's like just as you're released from a long prison term. Like, you get pretty excited.
I was late last night. Couldn't wait to get up this morning.
It's crazy, but it's so good to be back.
Yeah, they're so good to be back. And they look so happy, didn't they?
What about this lady?
It's like being in the castle when they said, tell him he's dreaming, and now it's Freedom Day. And that's the way it goes. It's all about Australia and freedom, and it's super fantastic.
That is one Sydney cider who's been locked up for far too long.
They've gone insane.
Now, of all the things,
so it opened, if you didn't know, it opened at midnight.
How long have they been locked down, Marta?
106 days.
6 days.
So
yeah.
More than 3 months. So it's like, I don't know, is that a minor burglary charge? I'm going to have to send you to prison for 3 months. Okay, it's nearly time to get out. And then when you're
terribly
out.
Terribly sad.
Oh, tear it. Well, it's just something. But who's the most stupid? Like, is it the people who couldn't wait to go to the gym at midnight?
In Penrith, they counted down to their first gym class in months. Burning off that lockdown energy.
Welcome!
It's midnight. Or is it the people who needed their hair done at midnight?
The excited jig of a couple who booked in for haircuts at 12:01 a.m.
We have a busy night ahead. We're doing pretty much a 21-hour hair marathon.
Oh, Jesus.
It's Christmas shopping.
Come on.
Gotta trim up those mullets.
Or is it did you see the people waiting to get inside pubs?
How's that taste? Mate, that tastes fantastic. Really good. Great to be out of lockdown, mate.
Oh, don't tell me you haven't been drinking beer at home in lockdown. You know what it tastes like.
No, he wasn't leaning on a bar at that angle.
We're not allowed to stand up, Marto. That's why. You've got to sit down to drink.
You think all that is completely insane and they're ridiculous. And then, of course, here comes the winner of the most stupid people who have been in lockdown in Sydney.
Haymark was chaos in the early hours.
And you should see how many people are here. It's crazy.
And this was the midnight lineup for Spotlight, the end of their fabric fast.
3, 2, 1, go!
Did you say stupid people lining up at Kmart?
And Spotlight.
That's not just after lockdown. That's every time.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo, waking you up weekdays on Triple M.
Newspaper headline that says Gold Coast man has died more than 200 times. You go, hold on, what's going on here? And you have a little bit more into it. It's quite an extraordinary tale. It's happened to this bloke, Troy Archer from the Goldie. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks. Very much alive. Thank you.
You sure are.
So glad you could be with us, Troy. That sounds hectic, really. It's a first word. 200 times you have died. Talk to us through that process.
It's probably been more, actually, but to be honest, I can't really... You can't keep count. Look, it's a pretty interesting situation, I suppose, if you put it in that way. I have a heart condition that, you know, when my body senses some kind of threat, it says we should lay down. It's a prehistoric thing. So if a bear came into your cave, my brain says we've got a bear here, this is a problem. I think we need to lay down and pretend to be dead.
Asleep.
Yeah.
You're a human possum.
And then the bear leaves. Yeah. So what happens?
Is it fainting that you've got? Is it low blood pressure?
Yeah, so it's a bit of everything. So what happens is the brain says you need to pause the heart. The heart pauses and you look dead for 30, 60, 90 seconds.
Jeez.
If someone came along and saw me, you'd think, this guy's gone, eyes open, no pulse, none of that. And then I come back.
Do you remember what happens leading up to that? And is there any sort of memory loss from it? What triggers it?
I've got a pretty bad memory anyway, but No, I don't remember anything, obviously, while it's happening. Yeah. Just prior, I can remember, like, I had an instance on the motorway driving to Brisbane one day, and I remember pulling into the shoulder of the highway, and then that's it. I woke up on the highway itself, on the motorway. So, I don't know, your brain, I guess your brain is starved of oxygen, and then you're out, and then you kind of wake back up and you feel really sick.
Do you fall over, you know, when people faint because they're lightheaded?
Just fall to the ground.
They've been standing still for too long. Have you ever hurt yourself while you've fallen?
I have, yeah. My girlfriend at the time, my wife now, has found me face down, bleeding from the face because I've obviously not caught in
yourself,
time. But most of the time you'll get a feeling just prior and then off you go.
Now, Troy, is it correct that your daughter also shares this diagnosis alongside you?
She does, yeah, which has been pretty confronting for me because I'd never seen it before. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, yeah, of
course. I'd never seen it. So
is it something that, is it hereditary? Like, is it something that you was passed down to you from one of your parents or family members?
My mum has had a bit of fainting, but not to the extent
not as extreme.
That I've had. No, and Minnie's, my daughter, she's had 16 episodes. She's 8.
8 years old.
And her triggers are slightly different to mine, but it's the same. My wife, Sarah, says it's exactly the same.
There's nothing the doctors can do to fix the heart condition or somehow put a better pump in or something? What's going on?
Well, so I had a pacemaker installed about 2011, roughly, and that changed everything. Literally, my whole life changed as a result of that. So now I get the symptoms and it feels like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
Troy, we did some work with a family who had a young daughter, Ollie, our lender hand, where we created a padded safe place for her. Do you have to have areas like that in your house? Because she suffers from drop seizures where she falls to the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, your situation is obviously slightly different, but do you have to have, you know, sort of protective gear, corners covered off? Do you ever have to wear, you know, some form of headgear in certain situations to be able to protect yourself in and around your home?
At this point, we don't. So I think that's where we're really fortunate. So there's always triggers for us. So we can see with Minnie if she's, you know, lethargic or she says, I'm just not feeling that well, or if she's just rolled her ankle playing netball or something, we'll be on high alert and, you know, we'll get her to kind of chill out and maybe lay on the lounge, put her legs up, you know, things like that. Mm. There's certainly been instances she broke her wrist. I think she broke her wrist, maybe a thumb, in hospital. And when she was in hospital, she had one when she was, the nurse left her for a moment, she actually had one fell off the bed.
Wow.
But most of the time it's, you can kind of catch it because you can monitor it pretty well. And for me personally, I was able to monitor my situation where I'd say to my wife, I'm not in a good way. And we'd kind of, you know, wet towel, whatever, ice blocks, anything to try and bring you back to a decent state.
Troy, I'm not sure whether there's ever been a problem where it's gone too far and you have really died and they've had to resuscitate you, or do you snap yourself back in? But what I'd like to know, is there anything on the other side? Have you gotten close enough to that to know?
Look, I would like to think there is, actually, to be honest. I think that, you know, I had one night in hospital which was really severe. I had had 7 seizures this one night in hospital. I just couldn't stay conscious. And I remember very clearly being on the bed, losing consciousness, hearing the monitor flatline, which was pretty crazy. I have that memory very, very clearly. I remember that same night laying on my side and the nurse from memory, not doctor, I'm sure it was the nurse, was saying, you know, don't go, you know, keep your eyes open. And I remember thinking, this is actually fine. It's not like you want to die, but the feeling of that at that point in time was pretty calm. If that's the experience, then that's not to be afraid of course. But
incredible.
I'd love to be able to say, you know what, I floated above myself and I saw all of my friends from high school, but I don't remember that.
God
spoke
to me.
I always have this weird situation where it's like a carousel that's spinning really, really fast. And I think it's when you're just coming back to consciousness, your brain's starting to kick in again. And everything flashes at that point in time. I could see friends and family, and it's really, really crazy.
Yeah, incredible. And not not for no reason, Troy, you're using obviously your battle as an inspiration for a fitness social platform that you've helped to launch. Tell us a little bit about that and how that can help others.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, two friends, co-founders, and I have launched Active Place. We started working on that a couple of years ago for a bunch of reasons. We kind of all have a bit of a health story. My business partner, Damien Dow, he has a metal hip and competed in the Hawaii Ironman, came top 100.
Wow.
Jesus.
And Trent Allen, he's a boxer. We've just experienced the benefit of health. And, you know, I don't think for me with my heart condition, I really got a handle on it until I started taking my health really seriously. And, you know, the difference between having a healthy life and a full life and not, it really comes down to the decisions that you make. So we decided we'd get together and go, you know what, this needs a place in our digital lives and our real lives. And you know, we have LinkedIn for our business life and we can find cars online and all that kind of, but where do we put our health life? You know, where do we take control of that? So we've been working on that for a couple of years. It's been a beast of a build, but you know, the plan with Active Place is to give the world a place where they can connect with other people and grow and take accountability for their health, you know. So we're pretty passionate about it, that's for sure.
Well, it's called Active Place and it's a community of experts in health, fitness, wellness space. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Troy. And I'm sure through this platform and sharing your story, so many people
help everyone else
will be able to get some help and feel like they have someone to relate to. So thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, stay safe.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Every morning, 7:25, we try and give away $10,000. We'll do it again tomorrow, first responder. It's the Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Morning.
Marto, it's not very often that I have anything in common with anyone of any sort of celebrity status.
Yeah.
But Sunday morning, I woke up with a hell of a hangover after our Dobbo Oki on Saturday
karaoke,
night.
Yeah.
We celebrated Dobbo's bachelorhood about to dwindle as he enters marriage. And I woke up Sunday morning with something in common with Chris Hemsworth, you know, the Thor, the superstar mega actor who lives down in the hills of Byron Bay. Well, he had also been out on Saturday night for some celebratory drinks.
Oh,
how just. Except his way of dealing with his hangover was a little different to mine as I lay there in bed at 9:30 a.m. feeling sorry for myself.
I thought, you know what? You did this to yourself. You're going to undo it, mate. I'm going to sweat out the demons. So we got on the treadmill, did 15 minutes warm up there, then did a big CrossFit circuit.
Jesus. No, there was no accountability taking. I did not do it to myself. It was Dobbo and that karaoke joint at Woolloongabba that I went to and the cheap wine that I had to drink. It was their fault. I didn't do this to me. They did this to me
as I lay there
in the fetal position, lacking in sleep and just my tummy burning and yearning. And
head
the last
throbbing.
Thing I wanted to do was get up and sweat it out on the treadmill.
You want to do CrossFit?
What I did was, Marto, I didn't want to do any CrossFit. What I did was, though, was I tucked into some KFC and Chris Hemsworth.
A traditional.
I don't care. I love it.
Yeah, it's a simple one. It's not when you nearly died, it's when you
actually really died. But we're asking you to ring us and tell us when you actually really died. And if you actually really died, you wouldn't be able to do that. So I think this is what you mean. Actually
really died. But then you came back to life to be able to tell us a story about when you actually really died.
Okay.
Yeah.
Righto.
133-403. Gary from Browns Plains.
Hello.
Oh, he is dead. No, he's not dead. Hello, mate. What happened?
I'm here. I'm here, mate. I'm still here.
Yeah, what happened, though?
Back in 1989, I was getting a lift to Sydney in a semi-trailer with a mate, and the truck rolled over on a bend, and I got thrown out through the windscreen and got dragged along the wreckage.
Oh, my gosh,
and,
Gary.
Jesus.
My arm got hooked up in the bull bar, stopped me from going right underneath it, apparently.
Oh, stop it.
Wow.
Yeah, so?
Divine intervention.
Yeah.
So, me mate, he was still alive. He pulled me out. He pulled me out of the wreckage, and the paramedics come along, and apparently I died on the scene there.
Hey.
I can remember laying on my back, saying there's something in me back, there's something in me back, and had a big rock jammed in his back, apparently. And
so it was hurting,
And then I didn't remember anything, and then later on, I'm in the ambulance, and I woke up, and the paramedic said, "Righto, he's breathing again. Get going." So obviously, they brought me back alive there.
Yeah.
And then in where was it? Royal Newcastle Hospital on the operating table. They said, "Oh, we're losing him." I heard him say, "We're losing him."
Yeah.
And I just sort of...
Did you drift out of your body?
Yeah, what did you experience? Yeah, what did you see?
I just sort of see myself on the operating table and all these people operating on me. And
you saw that?
And then they said, "Oh, yeah, righto." And he's going again. And I could hear the nurses talking about the mess. My back was all torn to pieces.
Yeah.
They had to scrub me back to get all the gravel and stuff out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But do you remember re-entering or nothing after that?
So at this stage, you died twice, once in the ambulance, once on the operating table, and then what happened?
And then I can sort of remember the parts of the operation. And later on in intensive care, the doctors, the surgeons, my arm was snapped off and they put a big blade in my arm, hold my arm on and all that stuff. And
yeah.
I had all these punctured lungs and tubes and stuff hanging out of me, and a surgeon come around and he said, "Oh, this and that, mate, we're going to do this." And I said, "Yeah, you use a scrubbing brush on me." And he said, "How'd you know that?" And I said, "I heard you." And he said, "We had enough drugs in you to knock an elephant out, mate."
Wow.
Said,
oh, my goodness.
What a story.
Incredible.
A story.
Well, Gary from Browns Plains, I'm so glad to hear that everything's okay and you survived that.
He needed a defib That's while incredible. He was telling that story.
Chrissy Claire. From Runcorns.
Gary's still on. Claire.
Stop it. Mark, Chrissy, good morning.
Claire. Good morning, guys.
Chrissy, you're obviously alive, but did you almost nearly die?
It was actually my dad. About 30 years ago, he was in a very serious workplace explosion.
Oh, Jesus.
So he has severe burns.
Yeah.
His heart stopped about 3 months into his care in hospital. And he remembers walking down a hallway towards a really bright light.
Yeah.
And as he was walking, he saw a figure. As he got closer, it was his dad who had been passed for a few years. And his dad actually said to him, "Mate, it's not your turn. Go back."
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I got goosebumps. That's a beauty.
It's literally like what you see in the movies, Chrissy. That's incredible.
It is. That was how he explained it, yeah.
Wow.
And when he woke up, did he remember it straight away or it took a while to come back to him?
I think in the drug inducement that he was in at that stage, it took a couple of weeks for him to remember all the pieces and put it all together.
So do you think it actually is...
Is it a hallucination from the drugs or is it scientifically...
On magic mushrooms has had the same thing, I don't know. Well, I'm just asking. Chrissy?
I think that's what he did see when he was gone.
Yeah, wow. Oh, and did it give him a different perspective to live his life differently once he'd come back?
Oh, absolutely. He has like 97% full thickness burned to his body. He's 63. He plays footy. He works every day.
Wow.
He loves his life.
Grateful.
He is very grateful.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're grateful to still have
him
around.
Story. Thank God for you, Chrissy. You got us going again.
100%. Right. Thanks, Chrissy. Incredible stories.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks for your calls to Big Breakfast, Marto and Margo. This is Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.